Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we explore scripture and delve into the Word of God.
Holy Spirit, you're in this place and we thank you for who you are to us. We thank you because where you are, there is liberty, there is peace, there is joy, there is hope, there is healing, there is freedom. And you speak to us when we come into your presence. So speak to us right now. In Jesus' name, and everybody says, amen. Amen. By the way, that was a very beautiful song from our worship team. Can we just appreciate the worship team for singing that special song? Last week, we began a very special sermon series on God's heart for every man. Now, ladies, you're not left out of this sermon series because what we are teaching focuses on men, but you need to hear those messages as well. They apply to you as well. God's heart for every man. What is God's heart for every man? God's heart for every man is that every man will flourish, that you as a man will flourish, that I will flourish as a man. Why? It is because we believe as your pastor strongly that men play a critical role, a key role in building families, in building strong, healthy, and happy families. And you know what? When a family is strong, is healthy, and is happy, when families are strong, healthy, and happy, then a nation will prosper. A community will prosper. Society will prosper. Why? Because a family is the building block of society. By the way, God established a family before he established the church. That's how important a family is. You all know the first family, the family of Adam and Eve. And then, of course, God blessed them with children. So God wants every man who is in this service today, every man listening to me online and those listening to me on TV, God wants you to flourish, to thrive, to be fruitful in every area of your life, to be successful. I know some of you, when I say God wants you to succeed as a man, now you're thinking about the money. You're thinking about cars. You're thinking about houses. Don't limit success to material possessions. God wants your whole life to thrive. He wants your whole life to be prosperous. Come on, men, give Jesus a hand clap of praise. And so last week we learned that blessed is the man who fears the Lord. A man who fears the Lord is the one who prospers God's way. He's the one who prospers the way God wants them to prosper. The man who has the fear of God and obeys God's commands. Today, as we continue teaching God's heart for every man, I want every man here, every man on air, every man online to understand that for you to flourish, the way God wants you to flourish, you need to find your identity in Christ. You need to discover your identity in Christ. You need to discover who you are in Christ. You know, there are many things that define us, that define people. The people who are defined by their success, by their achievements. The people who are defined by their accomplishments. There are people who are defined by what others say about them, or what others have said about them, say to them, or what others have done to them. Hey, for you to flourish as a man, to flourish holistically in every area of your life and become a blessing to your family members, become a blessing to others. And by the way, this message is for all men, for men of all ages, young or old. So for you to flourish as a man, you need to find your identity in Christ. You know, we all struggle with identity at one time or the other in our lives. Teenagers struggle with identity. I mean, you've all been teenagers. I've been a teenager. There's that season in your life in which you are confused about who you are. You wonder who you are. You have identity crisis, and teenagers tend to have identity crisis because they're trying to figure out who they are. They're trying to figure out, you know, why they exist. But also adults go through identity crisis. It is said that adults between 40 and 60 go through midlife crisis. And so they are wondering who they are. Even though they are 40-year-olds, 50-year-olds, or 60-year-olds, they are wondering who they are. And they are searching for meaning. They are searching for purpose in life. They are searching for acceptance. And that is very true. I've heard some men in their 60s, you know, who wonder whether they are accepted by their family members, whether they are accepted by their friends. Now, in our world today, male identity crisis is common, is prevalent, and it's a global phenomenon. It's a global thing. Male identity crisis. Men are wondering, am I really a man? And there are some men who are transitioning from being men into being women. That is how confused our world is. There is a male identity crisis. That's why you, as a man, need to hear that the identity you need to be aware of, you need to have, is the identity you have in Christ. That is the stable, that is the secure identity you can have as a man. You know, we tend to put labels on ourselves as men. And those labels become our identity. Labels such as, I am a defeated man. I am nothing. I am nobody. Poor me. Everybody hates me. Nobody likes me. Why do I even live? I am an accident. And if you listen to such voices from within you, they become your identity. They define who you are and how you act and how you behave. Gideon was raised by God to be. He approached Gideon and told him, I want to send you to deliver the Israelites from the Midianites, their enemies. And what did Gideon say? Gideon said, not me, Lord, not me. Please send someone else. I don't qualify. I'm not competent to be the deliverer of the Israelites because, first of all, my tribe is the weakest in Israel. Then he also said, look, I am the least in my family. He was looking down on himself. Are you looking down on yourself because of your background, your social background, your educational background, your economic background, because of the things you've done, the mess that you made in the past, because of the mistakes you made? Are you looking down on yourself because of failure you've experienced? You're putting a label on yourself. But also, people tend to put labels on men. Some of you are carrying labels that your family members have put on you. Your friends are put on you. Your workmates are put on you. You're nothing. You're nobody. You'll never amount to anything. Your professors, your teachers are put on you. You're an academic dwarf. I don't know why you're in this class. Maybe your teacher say that to you when you're in primary, when you're in high school, when you're in college, university. Or maybe your employer tells you as a man, I hired you to waste my money. Those are labels people put on us. And if we embrace them, then they become our identity. They become things that define us. And it creates identity problem. By the way, my wife is so, so kind. She's a very good woman. And I mean that. I mean that, by the way. So she bought for me this cup last year. Now, this is a big cup, certainly. So I use it to drink tea, mainly tea. I'm not a coffee drinker, mainly tea. And what is special about this cup is that it's got a C on it. So she intentionally engraved, okay, she didn't do it herself, but told the people, somebody who has the skill in engraving things, she told them to engrave a letter C on this cup. And so anyone who comes home and sees this cup with a C knows to whom it belongs. So because my name, Calvin, starts with a C, so this cup belongs to me. This cup has an identity. It has the Calvin identity. What have people engraved on you? What have circumstances engraved on you? But the good news is, there is what God has engraved on you as a man. Did you know, thank you, Pastor Ken, did you know that people gave Jesus labels? They called him a glutton. They called him a friend of tax collectors. Tax collectors were hated in Jesus' day. They called him a friend of tax collectors and sinners. They called him the son of a carpenter. A village boy from Nazareth. Nazareth. They despised Jesus. In fact, they called him a man who was used by Satan, by the prince of demons. Now, because Jesus knew the importance of people knowing who he was, especially his disciples. One time, Jesus asked his disciples a question. So in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" Jesus asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered. Simon Peter was always the first to speak. So he answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was the Son of God. He knew he was the Messiah, regardless of what people said about him, regardless of the names that people gave him. Whoa, he knew who he was. In fact, one time he told the religious leaders, "I know where I have come from, and I know where you're going." What about you? Do you know where you're going? Do you know where you're coming from? He was challenging the religious leaders. My question to you, every man here, who do people say you are? And who do you say you are? What does that voice inside of you say you are? So, here is the point I want you to go home with. There is who God says you are. There is who God's word says you are. That is your true identity. That is your secure identity. Come on. That is your eternal identity. Who are you in Christ Jesus? As a man who God wants to flourish. And when you flourish, your family also flourishes. Who are you in Christ? Are you ready to listen to who you are in Christ? Come on, everybody. Amen. Are you ready to hear who you are in Christ? In Christ, you are created in God's image. That is what God's word says about you. That is your identity, created in the image of Christ, in the image of God. So every man, those in person here, online, and even those who are watching this service on TV, I want you to say to yourself, I am created in God's image. Come on, man, go ahead. One more time. This is what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them, male and female. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7 tells us that the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. Man! My brother, oh, listen to me today. You are created in the image of God. Regardless of your color, regardless of your height, regardless of your social status, regardless of your economic status, regardless of your family background, regardless of your race, you are created in the image of God. And you are created male. God created you a man. That's very important to state. God made you a man. So don't, there's no, according to the Bible, according to God, men are not assigned the male gender. Men are created men, and women are created women by God. So you need to celebrate your manhood, everybody, every man. You need to celebrate your manhood. Be thankful to God that you are a man. He created you a man. Now, I'm not saying when you're praying, you tell God, I thank you, I'm not a woman. No. But you need to be thankful that you are a man. Even when you feel you should not be a man, be thankful that God made you a man. He made you a man for a reason. He would have created you a woman if he wanted you to be a woman. God created you a man because he knew you needed to be a man, and there's something he wants to accomplish through you as a man. So be grateful that you are created and celebrate your manhood. And ladies who are here, ladies who are online, ladies who are watching this service on TV or you're listening to it on radio, celebrate a man in your life. Celebrate his manhood. Celebrate your son's manhood. Celebrate your nephew's manhood. Celebrate your grandson's manhood. Come on now. Some of you have boyfriends. You celebrate the manhood of that man. Just imagine everybody was a woman. How boring that would be. Wow! I thank God He created me a man, so you don't need to transition into something else. Don't accept what the world says that, you know, you can just transition from being a man into whatever you want, whatever you... Don't go by your feelings. Go by the word of God. You are God's design. Come on now. Now listen again. This is very important. Because you're created in the image of God, that means you have God-given worth and value. God-given worth and value. My friend, your value and your worth don't come from your educational accomplishments. They don't come from how loaded you are financially. Your worth and value don't come from the car you drive. Some of you traveled here on Futshubishi. Do you know what I'm referring to as a Futshubishi? You didn't drive here because you don't have a car. So you either got into a taxi or you walked here. It doesn't matter how you traveled here. If you came on a Futshubishi, if you drove a Pajero, if you drove in here in the latest Land Cruiser, I mean in a Range Rover, it does not matter. That does not define you. Your worth and value come from you being God's image. Being a reflection of God's image in thinking, come on now, in reasoning, in making decisions, in having feelings, having emotions, in creativity, your worth and value are intrinsic. They're inherent. They are innate. Nobody will take it away from you. Nobody will add that worth to you. It's like this note here. This is a 10,000 shilling note. In US dollars, it's not a lot of money. It's about $2. Now, I can squash this note right now. I can crease it, okay? I'm creasing it. But though I have creased it, I've crumpled it, has it lost its value? It has not, because it has inherent value. Who gave this note, a 10,000 Uganda shilling note value? The one who made it. And the economy of Uganda, the government of Uganda, for as a matter of fact, gave this note here value. God has given you value. God has given you worth. So don't look down on yourself. Don't despise yourself. Come on now. And there are some people who think they are the best of everybody. They think they are the most important people in this world because of the accomplishments, because of the titles they hold, because of the money they have, because of the houses they possess. Can I tell you something? That is no real value, because those things, you know, you have those things today, but they can be taken away from you anytime. And even if they're not taken away from you anytime, one day you're going to die and you leave them here on earth. There was a man who wrote in his will some years ago that when I die, bury me with my millions of shillings. He had lots of money, but the family didn't know. So, because people wanted, the family especially wanted to honor his will, so they buried him with the money. But he was a dead body. So after his burial, there are people who decided to dig up the graves, some of his relatives, to get the money out. I mean, a friend told me he attended a funeral some years ago, somewhere here in the city of Kampala. And at that funeral, I mean, there are pastors, a number of pastors, and some of them were given, you know, a few minutes to say something. So there was one pastor. So my friend, the one who told me the story, was the MC. MC, that's what we call them, MC, funeral MC. So he gave that pastor a mic to say something, and he referred to him as Pastor So-and-so. And do you know what? That pastor was offended because he was an apostle. So on the microphone, he told Monas, I am not a pastor. Pastor is a lower rank. I am an apostle. being an apostle is a higher rank. Can I tell you something? That man had identity crisis. What you have doesn't define you. It's who you have. Who do you have in your life? Who is in charge of your life? Who is leading your life? Who is the Lord of your life? If Jesus is the Lord of your life, then your identity is in him and you are secure in him. Whether you have money or you don't have money, whether you have a house or you don't have a house. Some of you think marriage is the thing, is my ultimate goal. My friend, marriage should never define you. Some of you think having children is my ideal thing. Having children should never define you. Your identity is in Christ. So who are you in Christ? You're God's image. You flourish when you know you're made in the image of God, and therefore you have inherent God-given worth and value. Secondly and lastly, every man listening to me today, I want you to know that if you have given your life to Jesus, if you are a follower of Jesus, you are God's child. That's who you are. You are God's child. You belong to God. Man, maybe you don't have a family you belong to. Maybe you have been rejected by your own family. Maybe you have been ostracized by your friends. Oh, you belong to God. This is what Apostle John says in chapter 1. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Can we also read Galatians, what Paul says in Galatians? Wow. Let's read it together. Everybody, 1, 2, 3, go. Because you are his sons, God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. The spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. Let's stay there. We are God's special children. That word, Abba, is Aramaic, and it means daddy. You have daddy God. Can we go on? So you're no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. Can we celebrate Jesus? Come on. You are an heir of God. An heir is a person who inherits family inheritance. We inherit the kingdom of God. So those who think money is everything, power is everything to them, women are everything to them, their looks are everything to them, their clothes are everything to them. Can I tell you something? Those men who belong to Jesus, who are children of God, are heirs of God's kingdom. There is no one who is wealthier than God. Nobody. Can you imagine we're inheriting the kingdom of our Father? That's who you are, child of God. So live as a child of God. Act as a child of God. Behave as a child of God. Look at yourself as a child of God. Look at other people, those who have given their lives to Jesus, as children of God. And if you haven't given your life to Jesus, man, and this also applies to you, women, today you can become a child of God and become an heir of God's kingdom. Because women who are believers in Christ, whose identity is in Christ, they too are heirs of God's kingdom. Wow, finding your identity in who? In Christ. That means you're a child of God. That means you're created in the image of God. I know there's some teenagers listening to me right now. Don't let social media define you. Don't base your identity on people who like you on Facebook, on Instagram, on your social media platforms. Don't. You're a child of God. You're created in the image of God. There's this scripture here. It touched me last night and this morning as I thought about it. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, from verse 10 to 11. Solomon speaking, writing. Solomon had amassed a lot of wealth. The king of Israel, David's son. And he had 1,000 women. Think about it, guys. 700 of them were his official wives. 300 were concubines. The man was wealthy, but this is his conclusion. Can we read it together, everybody? 1, 2, 3, go. Anything I wanted, I would take. I denied myself no pleasure. I even found great pleasure in hard work, a reward for all my labors. But as I looked at everything I had worked so hard to accomplish, it was all so meaningless, like chasing the wind. Nothing in this world, nothing you will ever achieve, you will ever accomplish, will bring true meaning into your life. Nothing. And nobody will bring true meaning into your life. There is only one person. Jesus. 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 That is your identity. Then he engraves his name on you to show everyone that you belong to him. Do you carry the name of Jesus as his follower, as his son, as his daughter? So everybody bow your head right now. If you don't bear the name of Jesus as his follower, as his son, as his daughter, as his child, you can do it. You can give your life to him right now, and he will engrave his name on you as a sign of you belonging to him. And how does Jesus engrave his name on you? It's when you surrender your life to him. It's when you say, Jesus, come into my life. Take charge of it. I need you as my Lord and my Savior. If you know you have not given your life to Jesus, you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, and that means the name of Jesus is not on you, as his child, as his follower, you can raise your hand right now to welcome him in your life, to give your life to him. You can raise your hand. Somebody here saying, I'm giving my life to Jesus today. You can raise your hand. Raise your hand to welcome him in your life. Jesus has a plan for your life. Jesus wants to do something in your life and through your life. Is there someone saying, today I'm giving my life to him. Today I'm surrendering my life to him, even online. You can give your life to Jesus. You can raise your hand. You can click on the icon there. Oh, as a sign that you're giving your life to Jesus in the balcony. Is there someone saying, I'm giving my life to Jesus today? I want to be a follower of Jesus. I want to live for him. I want to serve him. Maybe you're here and you need to recommit your life to Jesus. You need to give your life afresh. You need to come back to God. You say, I want to come back to God. I want to return to God. I want to give my life again. I've veered off. Or maybe you're not living your life the way you should be for God's glory. You can make a decision to recommit your life to Christ. You can raise your hand right now. Is there someone saying, I'm recommitting my life to Jesus? Thank you, my brother. Thank you, somebody. Thank you. Thank you, my sister. Thank you, somebody else. Somebody else. Thank you. Thank you. God sees that hand. That's a hand of surrender. It's a hand of humility. Is there someone else? Shoot up your hand to Jesus. You say, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I'm not living the way I should be living. Jesus wants you to carry his name, to bear his name. He wants to engrave his name on you as a sign of his ownership of you, as a sign that you belong to him. Is there someone else saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I really honor the people who are giving their lives to Jesus afresh or for the very first time. So everybody, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Somebody else. Somebody else saying, I'm giving my life to Jesus. Somebody else. Somebody else, somebody else. Is there not one more person saying, yes, Pastor, today I'm making that decision, even online. Online, you are there in your house, wherever you are, maybe in the office or in the hospital, you're watching this service on TV. You can give your life to Jesus today, and he will engrave his name on you. So everybody pray this prayer after me. Lord Jesus, everybody, let's pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, today, I've made a decision to give my life to you. I surrender my life to you, my Lord. Take charge of my life. Take control of my life and lead my life as long as I live. In your name I pray. Amen. Everybody, let's give Jesus a hand clap for praise for people who have given their lives to Jesus. Let's celebrate the people who have given their lives to Jesus, who have recommitted their lives to Jesus.
Thank you for listening. We hope this encourages you to step into the new. Tune in next time as we delve into the Word of God. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com. Hey,